Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio, Special Operations Military News, and straight talk with the guys in the community.
In a world where information overload can cloud judgment, one platform stands out in the intelligence landscape. Meet Fivecast, the future of data-driven decision-making. Fivecast is not just software. It's your strategic advantage. Using advanced analytics, it turns vast amounts of data into actionable insights, ensuring that security and defense professionals stay ahead of the curve. From identifying threats to predicting trends, Fivecast empowers you with the intelligence you need when you need it. Trusted by global organizations, it's the tool for those who refuse to settle for the ordinary. Are you ready to transform your data into decisive action? Visit Fivecast.com now and step into a world of clarity and foresight. Hi, and welcome to a wonderful episode of SoftRep Radio. I am the one and only, your host, Rad. That's right. Coming to you from Utah with the fireplace on because you guys buy our merch. You go and check out the SoftRep.com site. You go to the merch store. You pick up some of those cool items that we have branded for you, and we really appreciate it. And it keeps us going and it keeps us moving forward to keep these conversations coming to you every single week. Also, I want to talk about our book club. I'm passionate about it. It's softrep.com/book-club. Go check it out. Check out The Chameleon. Check out Brandon Webb's Blind Fear. Go check out these books and read something. Put some knowledge in your brain. And with that said, today's guest has something special that's close to him, that's close to me. It's probably close to a lot of us, you know, talking about veterans. We have so many of these conversations on our SoftRep podcast. So Jim Whaley, former colonel, correct?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rad. Pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you, and your great smile lights up the screen. Mission roll call is something that you found and transitioned into prior or after your military career. Mm-hmm. You've moved into mission roll call, but prior to that, I always ask my guys, how old were you when you decided to enlist in the military?
Yeah, I was a freshman in college, and I was on the track team at Lock Haven State College, now Lock Haven University. I ran into a couple guys that were in ROTC. And they suggested that I look at that. Mm-hmm. And so I think I was probably about 18, 19 years old, freshman in college, joined ROTC, was fortunate enough for them to give me a scholarship and paid for the rest of my college, which was the only way I was going to make it through, and then went in the Army, which I thought was going to be for 4 years and get out, right? I went to aviation, so I came out as an aviator at Fort Rucker, now Fort Novosel. Thought I was going to do that for 4 years, but ended up loving the mission, loving the people I worked with, and traveled all over the world and made a full career of it.
So as an aviator, I believe your resume says master aviator.
Yeah.
Could you elaborate a little bit on the master aspect? I mean, I get that there's, you know, people are flying, but how did master, what is that?
Yeah, so that just is given to you if you've gotten enough hours and enough years on active flight status. And luckily for me, almost my entire career, I was at an active flight status and flew constantly. Was an instructor pilot, taught night vision goggles, combat skills, advanced combat skills. So, I flew over 2,600 hours.
Wow.
A lot of that under night vision goggles and had a wonderful career. Met my wife, who's a West Point graduate and a Chinook pilot.
That's legit. I love West Point, let alone she's a Chinook pilot,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and in fact, we have three daughters, and two of which are in the active duty, and okay, one serving as in a non-for-profit helping military. So we're kind of committed to the cause here at the Whaley Clan.
A very selfless oversight of yourself with your family there, sir, just like giving up a lot of your puzzle pieces to build your family, right? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I don't know if you saw that meme. I kind of like it. It's like the dad pulls his puzzle pieces from his back to build his son.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly right. I mean, so much of it is nurture. A lot of it's nature. But, you want to instill that pride in your kids. And luckily for me, I had three wonderful daughters that decided to continue to serve their country.
Right. Right.
And my youngest daughter graduated from West Point, like her mom. And in fact, she's in
what
Korea.
A stud.
Right? I know. She's tough. And in fact, we're leaving early tomorrow morning to go see her in Korea, where she's stationed.
Wow. Well, congratulations to her. Big props. Okay. And thanks for being a part of our leadership in the military to your daughter. Oh, we don't mind the dog. My cat might just jump up here and want to be pet as well.
I have a golden retriever who thinks he's much more than just a golden retriever.
Because he is. We know who runs that house.
Oh, yeah.
I was told animals only talk to us when they want to eat.
That's right.
I think my cat's meowing at me, loving me. She's just like, I'm either going to eat you or feed me.
That's right.
Now, you say under night vision, I just think of like night stalkers, right? The guys that fly a lot of night vision style. I mean, all pilots should be trained with, night vision.
They are. And it's an important aspect of how Army Aviation takes the fight, right? And delivers our customer to the location they need to be. And it's an integral part of when you start as an early aviator right out of flight school. And of course, the United States Army owns the night, especially when it comes to be able to deploy operators all over the world.
100%. I mean, it's just those green eyes and, dropping them down.
It's cool.
You're way cool. I'm trying to keep it inside how cool you are, right? This is me being like, you're so cool, bro.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And what was your favorite thing to fly,
I loved every airframe I was fortunate to fly. I started out in Hueys. And then when I went to Germany, I became a 58 pilot because I was in the armor division. They needed scout helicopter pilots to kind of get the Cobras back then to where they needed to be. And then came back as an instructor pilot in Hueys. And then went to Panama as a Black Hawk guy. And then went back to Germany as a Black Hawk maintenance guy. So I had a wonderful career to be fortunate enough to be in the seat flying the whole time. My last assignment was at West Point to run communications, public affairs for them during the bicentennial. But I was still on flight status because I had night vision goggle skills and I was able to still stay in flight status and fly there. So that was fun.
That's awesome. And you still fly today for pleasure?
No, I don't. I just look at that as a great chapter in my life and have moved on and I went into the corporate world for a number of years, about 15 years in corporate America after I retired, and always focused on corporate communications, public affairs, public relations. Ran communications for two Fortune 500 companies, so had great teams around me, enjoyed that part of my life. And now in the nonprofit world,
mission roll call.
It's coming back to where my roots are.
Yeah,
it's an important mission. I remember as a lieutenant passing the hat to my commander, right, of throwing in $20 so we could make sure all the troops had a good Thanksgiving. Yep. And that need is still there, unfortunately. You know, we have almost 25% of our active duty in a place where they're food insecure. And that means that they are not getting the nutrition that they need. They don't have the financial capabilities to do that. That's just one aspect. And I just feel our nation can do much better.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You know, I have a friend who's in the military currently right now, young man, probably pushing 25, okay, struggling for a home, struggling to stay off the street, not by choice, just by situations, okay, you know, to where I'm like, how can I help? What do I have as an asset for this guy? You know, our circle's like, how do we just, he's like, can I just stay in a bathroom? You know, I'll just stay there and I won't be a problem. I'll just keep a small cot. And I'm like, I know you will. And I know you won't be a problem. I know you'll be that guy, right? It's like, you know, is there, and he's in and he has work and it's still, you know, I can only imagine somebody who's maybe transitioned out, only knew the life of, you know, a regimented situation. Here's your 3 squares a day. You're going to do PT in the morning. You got your clothes, you got your shampoo from the PX, you know, that you can afford, but then you're out, you get out, you transition out. You're like, I'm out of the military, but then where?
Right. Yeah, I think there's an enormous challenge for our society to address this, right? When you think about there's about 18 and a half million veterans in our country. Half of those are not affiliated with any not-for-profit or organization. So they've left the military and they're completely gone. So we're trying to harness that through our mission roll call, because we want to be the voice of veterans and bring these issues to the right people, to share those stories with decision makers at the state, local, and federal level, but also to engage the American population. You know, there's only 0.4% serve, and only 1% have any kind of connection to the military. So there's a chasm between what the average American knows about the military. With that said, the majority of Americans 88%, 89% support the military. And that's what's great about the United States. We've always honored and respected our military with some brief interludes in there, Vietnam and some other times. But we've always had a great respect for our military and honored them. And we all saw it as kids, and we see it today on Memorial Day and what have you, just recently Veterans Day.
Right, we just had Veterans Day here.
You know, it is clear we have a lot of work to do, because out of that 18.5 million, over a million are homeless.
Right.
Of veterans.
That's
we
a lot.
We still have a high suicide rate, you know, 22 plus. And there's numbers that indicate that that is much higher than that, because in many cases, the veteran is not identified as a veteran.
Right.
So we have an enormous challenge our nation needs to face, and we need to hold our elected officials and others accountable, including the VA, on what they're doing and what they're going to do to address these issues. I think it's vitally important that we take care of our active duty and we take care of our veterans. It is the fabric of our nation.
Literally.
Right. And if you pull that string, it starts to unravel. And you can only look at the newspaper, let's say, or the news, or even any kind of feed that you get, and understand that the world is not getting any safer. We have a lot of adversaries around the world. We are struggling right now to hit recruitment goals. The Army's down 15,000, have had to adjust their folks on where they are stationed and have to rotate. And of course, that up tempo now forces more people out because they can't handle it. And they're not addressing that issue. The senior leadership is not addressing that.
No, they're not. They're not giving like the olive branch to the kid who may fail the ASVAB getting in and may need some help. And they're like, you know, I was talking to another guest, a former colonel, and he said, you know, Rad, maybe what the military should do is offer like a first tier program for somebody who may be struggling trying to get a career in the military. They go and meet a career counselor at the recruiting office. They talk to the recruiter, and he's like, oh, you just don't pass.
Yeah.
You're no good. You know, what's not passing? Maybe I didn't do my mechanical enough. You know, can you educate me? Maybe I need to do a little more PT. I like what the Marines do. They have that poolie program where you want to come into the Marine Corps. You're going to kind of start stepping into physical training. They want to make sure they're setting you up for success when you get to boot.
Right.
Because they know the mental part is in your head. The physical part, that just doesn't come overnight. You got to be able bodied. You got to be willing to run your 2 mile, you know, minimum qualification, your planks, your sit-ups, your, you know, your physical fitness test. That's probably like one of the biggest hindrance. I think people sucking on soda pop these days is, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what I was looking at my notes here. I had it, but I don't have it on the top of my head. I don't want to misquote, but I think it's less than 9% of our population can serve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
according to our metrics, what we demand for a military person.
And your point is maybe we need to adjust those metrics. And I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, we have to think about that. And we also have to think about how do you go in the military for a few years, go to the civilian world, maybe get some more skills, and then come back to the military. You try to do that now, and it's next to impossible. You may be able to go in the reserves of the National Guard, but you won't be able to get back on active duty. So we need to rethink that. I mean, I look at my own career. When I retired, I was 42. I had just made 06 below the zone, and they let me go. And I went into the business world, and then I was there for a few years, and I thought, boy, if I knew what I know now back as a young colonel, boy, I could really affect the way we communicate as an organization. But of course, there's no way to do that. And I was, and it was not even an option. So it was really no real thought for that. I just continued with my civilian career.
What do you think about the 65 mandate? You know, where if you're 65, you're done. You know, what if your brain's 66 and you're like,
You know, I know darn well that I know 60-year-olds. I'm close to 62 now. I still stay physically fit. I still run. I still work out. And I know when I was on active duty, there were some 20-year-olds that were not physically fit. So, I mean, we just have to adjust things. But I think more importantly, we have to think about how we are actually paying and taking care of the military. And I want to bring that up and spend a little time on it, Rad, if you don't mind. And that when I went to active duty and I went to my first platoon that had, you know, 80-plus guys in it and they were in the barracks, the majority of those 80 guys that were in the aviation unit lived in the barracks. They were single guys, always causing grief, but all good guys. They would spend their salary on going downtown and having a drink. And I was in Germany at the time, so, you know, many couple beers was
many couple
for these guys, and maybe a couple more. But they were all good fellas gals, and I loved them. But they were in the barracks. So when it got to the end of the month and maybe they didn't have a lot of money, they could still go to the chow hall and get food. They had a warm cot or a bed to sleep in. They had, you know, the little infrastructure that is. They got sick. Somebody could take care of them. Sure. Well, now the majority of those people that are joining junior enlisted are coming in with families. They're coming in with a dependent who's a grandmom. They might be bringing their parents in as dependents. And now you're paying them $35,000 a year and hoping that's going to work out. And it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's organizations that are not making it easy for them to be able to go to a food bank. Maybe they don't have a car. All those sort of things. So we need to think about the salary, because the salary is not where it should be. And, you know, there has been some senators that have brought this to the military's attention. Senator Ernst from Iowa, for example, pushed for junior enlisted to get more pay. The generals responded, no, we don't want to do that because we'd have to raise everybody's pay. No, the focus there was on junior enlisted coming in
That's
the military.
Right.
Let's solve one problem at a time.
That's right.
But they obviously didn't embrace that.
They can't embrace anything right now over there. The Congress is just a complete shuttered situation. They're not even promoting...
Yeah, Senator Tuberville's...
Man, I don't even want to like get political on this, but I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like, get over it.
Yeah, there's a lot of challenges, and I think the average American just doesn't see those challenges. And, you know, and I get some great feedback from my daughters and people I still know on active duty, and and my team does.
I for sure as hell am never going to tell your daughters what they can or cannot do with themselves, sir.
That's right.
I want you to know that right now. And if they're listening to this, and if any of my listeners are impressionable right now, women rule the world. Don't you ever forget that. And I promise you, every single one of us came from a vagina. Okay. Prove me wrong. Okay. And until you can prove me wrong in the comments down below, I don't want to hear it. Okay.
Right.
Women
right.
rule the world, sir. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, they certainly do in my household.
And in my household, maybe we're just
four women in the house.
Sir.
I knew what my role was.
Yes.
And that was to protect and provide. And that's about it. And provide a little guidance, maybe. But I feel we're at a crossroads as a country, as a nation. And because there's so many outside influences right now on the world stage. I mean, we see that, you know, I mean, China has 115 infantry divisions, 35 artillery divisions, about 25 armor divisions. The United States Army has 10 divisions total.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one potential adversary. Let's look at Iran and then Russia. I mean, there's a lot of adversaries or potential adversaries out there on the world stage. And now we have a military that's not hitting the recruitment numbers. And we have 25% of them that are food insecure. You don't have to be Nostradamus to look into that situation and say, oh, this is probably leading to something that's bad. And I feel that where Mission Roll Call comes in is sharing those stories, sharing those challenges, amplifying the message that we're hearing from our veterans and their families. We just don't have military membership. We have family membership, spouse membership. As we were talking before in the green room, we shared, you know, spouses. Your mom was a military spouse. And my wife, when she got out of the military, she was still in the military. She just wasn't getting paid for it. Right. We were moving kids around all over the world. Out of 20 years in the military, we spent 11 overseas. So she wasn't getting paid for that, but certainly she was involved with helping enlisted troops of being in organizations that gave back to the organization, the Army organization. So there's a lot of things going on. And I think we just need to understand we're not in a great place as a military. We have great people that, you know, what never changes is that the people that join the military, you, myself, every one of your listeners that have or been involved, we join it because we want to serve our country and we want to be part of something bigger than ourselves.
That's right.
We all wrote a blank check that said we're willing to die in the defense of our country. That has never changed and hopefully never will change.
Right.
But the support of those people has changed. And I was speaking last night to the Daughters of the American Revolution here in South Carolina, and I thought I would talk to them a little bit about what the conditions were at the Revolutionary War and where we are now. And I pointed out to them that after the Revolutionary War, the government could not pay the troops. Many of them didn't receive anything, didn't receive back pay, didn't receive medical care. In some cases, states gave them land in lieu of cash. But of course, that land was in territories that were already held by Native Americans, so it just wasn't a give me.
Right.
You had to survive to get that land. And so we've had this history of relying on these important people to maintain our freedoms, to win our freedoms, but then we don't take care of it.
Right. It's like we expect them to be there and right. expect this, you know, body armor around America.
Right.
Everybody expects it that we're America, we have it. But
right.
if you're right, you're 100% right. You know, we got to take care of those that come out. And fortunately, I've been to England and seen veterans over there talking about how they have a lack of care and a lack of the hospital. Like, we have a VA administration, at least. They right. have like charities over there that they have to get vetted through to get their benefits right. to get help with, you know, through a charity. Right. And that's if the person's passionate about their charity and can get right. them into their, over here, at least we do have the hospitals that we can complain about and that we can talk. It's a student hospital and, you know, a lot of these folks there,
right.
but at least we have it. Okay. And, right. Joining the military, I knew that was existing, you know, as a military brat. I think I had a little bit more insight. Right. Into right. the military world. Like you mentioned, I never really thought about that. I think, oh, hey, doesn't everybody wear a green beret on base?
Right.
You know, that's right. what dad wore. But no, there's right. it's crazy, man. I don't really yeah. think sometimes.
And I also feel like one of the reasons why all the services are struggling with recruitment is because, well, if you're a parent yeah. and your kid comes to see you about this, and then right. you hear about these horror stories of the VA not responding, not taking care of their own, you're probably less apt to tell your kid to go join an organization that's not going to take care of you if something mm-hmm. goes bad. I mean, that's the way parents think, right? Parents think in risk reward, right? What's right. a risk associated with this for my loved one? And then, of course, the other piece is when you hear stats of people on active duty not being able to make ends meet, not being able to provide for their family, then you can understand why some say, well, maybe that's not a great career move for you. And we need to change that dialogue. We need to change that paradigm.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You know, I remember my mom and dad having a conversation jokingly around the table in the 80s about his paycheck. And he's like, you know, Vicky, I think it's about $2.27 an hour. Because he was like, I'm 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yeah, what's my paycheck? He's like, so for someone who jumps out of an airplane and
gets hurt.
Yeah, exactly. $2 an hour on active duty, you know, and that was in the 80s. But I'll tell you, we did have a house. You know, but we did have to use, my dad and mom are, Mormon, and I was raised in the Mormon faith, the Latter-day Saint, I'll call it what they want it to be called. So, and we had to use the Bishop's Warehouse because of, y'all, I want to blame the tithing because they'd give the 10% to the church.
Right.
And then they would be looking for the 10% to eat.
Right.
You know, because everything else has been depleted, but they were so faithful. But then we'd have to go and shop for the lettuce and the church cheese. And, you know, I drank powdered milk, bro. You know, so, and my dad's like, oh, you don't know kids eat Cheerios with water? And I was like, no. He's like, watch. And he put it in my bowl and he put some water in it.
Yeah.
And, and he's like, eat it. I just sat at the table eating Cheerios with water.
Yeah.
He's like, your stomach's not going to know any difference.
Right. Yeah, that's a tough dad. But a dad that did what he needed
to do. He had to do. Yeah, he had to get me to eat.
And I just feel that our country can do a lot better with that when you look at the federal budget and you look at where money goes and what it's.
Oh, really?
But I think the only way we do that is through organizations. The one that I'm fortunate to be part of at Mission Roll Call is to take all that, what I mentioned earlier, out of that 18.5 million veterans right now, only half are affiliated with an American Legion or a VFW or what have you. Most
of really what's out there,
right?
A VFW or a Legion.
And you know, sometimes the VFW and the American Legions and others, you know, they don't have the ability to take all those messages, all the things they're hearing, and bring it to their constituents up at Capitol Hill. They have to synthesize that. They have to take 111 different points of contention and narrow it down to two or three that they think they can make a difference in. What we're trying to do is unfiltered. Listen to the veteran through polls, through a number of other social media abilities to get those messages and then bring it straight to decision makers and be able to do that in a way that says, hey, Congressman Smith, you're in Colorado or Utah. This is what your constituents are saying. But you're doing, they want A, but you're doing B. Let's talk about that.
Yeah,
and that's the way I think we change things in that and by engaging and harnessing that voice. You can imagine if we can get 8 million or half, right, of that 18 million. Let's say we get 9 million to join the cause here. Well, we're a powerful block then.
100%. 100%.
That changes the dialogue. That's a much different conversation when you go into a senator's office or the VA and saying, I'm representing 9 million veterans. These are the things we want you to address.
We got to either do this or it's conscription. Okay. It's either we sit here and help our fellow veterans who have voluntarily served, say Vietnam vets that are still here. I'm just saying that we're, you know, drafted into the war. If you want to avoid the draft and you want to avoid like the lottery and the number and your son, little Billy's going off to war because
you better get involved.
You better get involved. You better work from grassroots ground up. And you don't even have to start from the bottom. You can just go to Mission Roll Call. And I'm sure Mission Roll Call has avenues where they can reach out to you and say, hey, how can I help? How can I help? How can my philanthropy, you know, help you? I can't take this with me to heaven because I'm such a good person. It's got to stay somewhere. So what does Mission Roll Call need from me? You know, et cetera, you know, or maybe you are going to hell and you don't want to take it with you. Maybe Mission Roll Call can use your philanthropy. Okay.
We're not going to. Well, we all have a vested interest in this, not just
veterans
and the family of veterans. I mean, how many people are on the internet right now ordering something from Amazon?
Seriously.
Right. I mean, how do you think that gets here? Through seaways that are protected by the Navy.
Exactly.
Through financial systems that are protected by the government. Through roads and all those sort of things that are maintained because we have a military that's able to protect our way of life.
All of these assets for us. Yes. And I always say our number one export in America is our military. Because when I do war games here in Utah, which is one of my fortes here, and we dress up like as the fighters, like there's everybody wants to be a Navy SEAL or a Green Beret, right. You know, or a grunt, like an infantry guy.
Right.
Like boots on the ground, you know?
Right.
So when I talk to people overseas who are in the same, you know, hobby as us, they're like, yeah, Rad, can you get me like some Navy SEAL pants or like, you know, some,
right.
some authentic Green Beret uniform? Because it's like, that's the best.
Right.
We're the best. They want the best. They're not like, hey, give me the, I want like the Japanese Special Forces gear if it can fit me, but they're not wanting that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's why those numbers of how many people, I mean, of any institution, in our country, Supreme Court, Congress, religious institutions, far and away, the top institution is the military when it comes from admiration and respect from the American people. And we see that anytime over this past Veterans Day when you watch the NFL or TV, there was a lot of veteran acknowledgement. Where I'd like to see it moved to is an acknowledgement that we can do better in supporting our veterans. It's one thing to say, I respect them, I honor them. There's quite a difference to putting that to action and into support. And I don't think we've harnessed that energy and that need enough. If the VA was doing everything it was supposed to be, we would not have 40,000 non-for-profits in the veteran space.
Trying to fulfill these...
Right.
Patch up the holes of this tire.
Right. Well, you can imagine if that is a federal agency, right? And it is.
Right.
It's a huge federal agency. You can imagine if that, and people have lost confidence in it, right? And there's all these areas that it needs to improve and all these areas where there's gaps. And that's why we have nonprofits that are doing that. Anything to providing a dog to somebody who needs it to getting groceries and many
Correct.
Of those 40,000 or so non-for-profits are small, niche, in a community, one or two people. They're doing God's work,
right.
but they're addressing something in Ohio or Nebraska or Montana, you know,
right.
and they're just in that geographic area. There's only a few really big ones. But you can imagine if we get to the point where we have a military that can't do the things it's supposed to do, well, who's going to fill that gap?
Who's going to fill your Amazon cart and deliver it to you, bro? Okay. Like if we're not taking care of it, you really hit it on the head. You know, all of these passageways, all of these roadways, all of this waterways, everything that we just take such granted. I take for granted just now on this conversation, you have enlightened me. Like I didn't even think about, you know, like, oh yeah, the waterways. Oh yeah. They're protected. The Navy's out there. The Coast Guard's cruising around, but you know what? They can't be if they're not getting numbers.
Yeah, and let's pause there for the Coast Guard. You know, the Coast Guard now falls under the Homeland Security Agency.
Right.
You know, it wasn't that long ago I was working with USO and the budget, you know, was not approved. And of course, the federal government shut down. Well, the Army and Navy and all of them still get paid, right? Because it's part of the Pentagon, but not the Coast Guard. So we had to shift assets pretty quickly to open up food banks for the Coast Guard. They don't get paid.
No.
And yet we still require them to do the things that they need to do. You know, that sounds
third world
to me.
They're not begging, my man. They're not begging.
No,
they
make it happen. And the Coast Guard is probably, it's just a wonderful organization that takes care of its people like no other. And I say that I'm an Army guy, right? I bleed green.
Yeah, I get you.
But I have a daughter in the Coast Guard. I know what the Coast Guard does. I have a lot of...
They fly the Dolphin helicopter.
Yeah, they're very, and they do things every
That's so legit.
Day that are, you know, saving lives, and that's their mission. But, you know, really, a country of our size can't figure out a way to make sure that they're getting paid when we can't figure out politically what to do. I mean, I think we expect more from our leaders than that. I know I do.
Yeah, and I do too. I was actually kind of, you know, it's like they went to Department of Homeland Security. They were under the military, umbrella. And, you know, and everybody kind of doesn't realize that the Coast Guard is doing exactly that.
Right. And, you know, when you ask anyone who's been on a situation where the Coast Guard has come to save them, and the rest of their life, they're indebted to the Coast Guard. And right. And we take it for granted when you're on a cruise ship or you're out on a fishing vessel or any number of things that the Coast Guard does, literally guarding the United States coast, which is quite large, and the Great Lakes.
Correct.
And overseas. I mean, we forget that the Coast Guard is in overseas locations as well.
They join up with the Navy, and, the Navy destroyer now becomes a Coast Guard vessel with three guys on board.
And I think the reason was they wanted the law enforcement capability, which now that the Coast Guard can do under the Homeland Security. So strategically, I understand that. Where I have a beef is the ability to make sure they continue to get paid. And I just feel like there needs to be some kind of an address of that issue so that they can continue to do that.
Because right now they're actually talking about, you know, the funding for America.
It seems like it's every other month we have a discussion over our budget.
Yeah, and it wasn't, though. You know, growing up, it was like Reagan and Dukakis or Bush and Dukakis and Clinton and, Bush or, Al Gore and Bush. It was never like the budget never got met.
Right. So, we have to address these issues and we have to be vocal. And I feel like most veterans suffer in a quiet way, in an unassuming way. I mean, we feel like we did our duty. We just need to suck it up and just try to take care of each other. And I think that's admirable. And it's part of the ethos of the military, right? You try not to complain. You take care of those around you. You do the mission. But I also feel that we need to band together and advocate for those that need help because elected officials are just not doing it. Now, there are some that veterans themselves and are doing great work to support.
Arizona.
I mentioned Joni Ernst, but you can't clone Joni Ernst.
Right.
And there's others as well that are doing that. But we need to do more of that support for the military and address these issues. And it really bothers me, and I think it probably bothers you, Rad, and your listeners, that we still are struggling with so many suicides. That we're still struggling with homelessness.
Right.
We're still struggling with food insecurity. I mean,
and that's where I'm like, they're not out there begging, you know. I mean, like the Coast Guard, when they're furloughed from pay, they're still showing up and they're still working and they're feeling that they're protected because they're Americans.
Yeah.
Working for America. They're like, this can't really be really right. You got coffee in there, Bob. Is there coffee in there? There's not coffee in the wheelhouse, sir. Where's the coffee? You know, they just want their. And to have to open up food banks, that was my question. So, I mean, I'm used to going to like the Bishop's Warehouse, which was like a religious place here in Utah that we'd get our food, but we never had like a base. I know there's like an E3 and below store on Hill Air Force Base back in the day where if you're under.
Yeah, I think they've gotten rid of all those. And I think there was a lot of pressure on the Pentagon, from the Pentagon to nonprofits to not do that because they felt it was embarrassing that they had food banks. And that they're not in the food distribution business.
And the E3 below store, you know, if you were an E3 or below, you can go in and get.
If you're that embarrassed, fix the problem.
Yeah. But that shop was actually functional. It was like actually eco-friendly because here's my size 14s I'm getting out of. I don't need them. So where do I go? Give them to the E3 and below store. And then anybody E3 and below could go in the store and just grab it off the shelf if they needed a new pair of boots that would fit them.
Right. Our commanders need to be more focused on these issues, less political and more of focusing. You know,
morale.
I was always taught that you take care of the people you're responsible for. That's your job, and your primary mission. Without that, you can't do anything else. So I feel there's a gap there. Commanders need to think about that. I'm not saying that some commanders aren't. I'm just saying there's a problem and it doesn't seem to be getting fixed. And our country needs to address those issues. Hopefully people will look to us at Mission Roll Call, be supportive of us, join. No cost to joining. We just need to hear your voice. And I feel once we build up that membership, then we get to the place where we can be more effective. But we're going to use the power of this. of social media. We're going to use the power of podcasts. We're going to use the power of all these platforms from LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, whatever it takes to coalesce that voice in a powerful way and do it in a way that brings other nonprofit leaders. Because there's so many great nonprofits that are doing things out there, but they're usually niche, right? Their niche is...
It's true. Like adaptive skiing. You got to have, you know, you got to fit into this boot to go skiing down the mountain because you lost both your legs.
Exactly.
And, you know, you got to reach out to them. And why can't the VA give recreational therapy all the time to people? Like, oh, yeah, you want
recreational... I don't know.
You want pharma or recreational therapy? I bet 90% of everybody would say, I'll take recreational therapy. Do you mean like I can go kayaking and that would make me feel better?
Right.
Really? You mean there's organizations that you guys as a military or a federal organization can pay vouchers to cover me to go to, and I have to like beg you for this?
Well, and I don't think the VA and this is really with any federal agencies, they just don't know how to partner with private industry.
Right.
I mean, there is a lot of philanthropists out there that would love to address this issue. They have the skill set to do so. I mean, let's face it, the federal government's not good at doing things. I mean, think about the Postal Service. I mean, the Postal Service owned the ability to deliver mail, right? I mean, that what they got paid to do it.
That's it. One job.
Right. And how many other organizations now are delivering your mail? UPS, FedEx, all these other organizations.
Right.
Why? Well, because you weren't doing it right. You weren't doing it fast enough. You weren't addressing the customer. It's the same with the VA. It's the inability to be entrepreneurial, quick on your feet, being able to adapt to the customer. And they do not have a customer first.
They're like slow as molasses. Yeah, they're like behind the curveball. Right. You're so correct.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of money that goes there. There's a lot of people working for the VA. And it was easy to fix. I realized somebody would have been able to do it by now. But we really need new thoughts on how to address those issues in an entrepreneurial way.
And I'm not coming at the main man, the current, general over the VA administration of his 300,000, staff and, you know, everything that he has to work with. But, I have had his former, three-star general on Lute, Douglas Lute. I'm not sure if he was the one that was the transition. But nonetheless, I had the VA director on here one time, and we were talking about exactly what we're talking about. And he said, at one point, I looked at the roster, and I had like 300,000 people that I'm staring at that work for me underneath the whole Veterans Administration, because we're talking about how he was losing folks during COVID, and it was just like his staff was just getting vacuumed.
Yeah.
Away because everybody's like not able to help it's just what do we do? Do we continue to do charities? Do we elect officials who promises and we don't see that happen and then they sit on their keister or what?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Well, I think we have to do what we're doing, and that is start organizations that are going to be grassroots that can harness people's energy and be nimble and do it that way and make change. I mean, that's the only way we change the course that we're on, is to bring attention to these issues. And quite frankly, maybe veterans need to fix our fellow veterans in a way that we harness those 16 million that are out there to this organization to help address those issues. They all have contacts, they have friends, they have companies they're working for. That kind of support is enormous. And that's how you change the world. And that's, you know, that's why this is important. And I think that we can do that. I think we have the vision for it. We just need, we just stand it up right now as a separate 501c3 right now. We've been a program, so we have some work to do, but I have great people that I'm working with that have the same passion or more than I do. So we're going to get there. We're going to be successful.
Already working on it, right? We are getting the message out there. I have a friend of mine who I had, and he runs the Jed Bird podcast, and he just ran 22 marathons in 22 days to try to raise awareness about the whole 22-22.
Yeah.
It's not so much that you can sit at home and do push-ups to stop suicide, right? Somebody of their own their own mindset is going to do what they want to do. Okay. I can't stop you from freedom of choice. In fact, I empower you to be freedom of choice. I can only tell you that we care about you. And if you want to talk to me, you can reach me on social media. And I've talked to many people at 3 a.m. My wife's like, who are you talking to? I'm like, I'm not sure, but it seems like they need to talk to me.
And so well, I'm God just bless like, you for doing that. I mean, it's
happened.
It's breaking that chain, right? I mean, sometimes a phone call, reaching out, all of those sort of things. And that's the whole idea behind the name of Mission Roll Call. We're doing a roll call here. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, Smith, Jones, Schmuckatelli, are you there?
Exactly.
That's what it is. So we're doing a roll call of our veterans and saying, we need help here. We need to address these issues. Let's band together and do that. We've done it before. We'll do it again. This is a new way of doing it because we're not filtering. We're apolitical. I don't have any preconceived political notions for people. What we want to do is let them speak for themselves and use that energy and use that mass of people to then affect change in a positive way. And that's, I think, is powerful. You know, I remember in the Army, we always said we defended democracy. We didn't practice it. In this case, we are practicing democracy. We really do want our members to have differing views, but
you have bring a position.
To us these issues and let's address it and let's band together and figure out ways to change the course of history.
Yeah, really. It's true because we can do that because we have done that. You know, society has shown that we can move forward from, you know, our transgressions and try to create a better future. And even though we can't fix the past, we can't change that. We can try not to let it happen by looking to the future and just not repeating, you know, you can give pay raises. When I hear it's like, oh, hey, the military is getting a 1% increase or 2% increase, I'm like, that's just like, it's still not enough. Tell me you're giving them a 25% increase.
Yeah, we really need to relook that. And I don't understand why our senior leadership hasn't done that from the Secretary of Defense down.
Correct.
I mean, I know that, you know, I don't pretend
$10 jump pay a month. I don't know if it's that much anymore. It's just like, come on.
I get it. No one joins the military to become rich, but you shouldn't have to be going to a food pantry either.
No, and you shouldn't have to, you know, even personal purchase as an officer because you make an extra little bit more as an officer than your men do because you're at this management level because you went through college and to get this education so that you can bring a subject matter expert into the situation.
Right.
So now you have to spend an extra $1,000 on your combat gear because
Yeah.
Because that's that's not leading by example, because now you're showing that your guys have to go buy their combat gear.
I know.
And then your guys come to me and they're like, hey, Rad, I need all the stuff that my guy has, but for less. And I'm like, deal, let's go.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, we have a lot of issues. We have a lot of issues we need to take on, but it's a noble cause that we're undertaking. And I feel like we're going to make some headway with this. I feel like there's a lot of energy behind it. I feel like everyone I talk to say, yes, we need that. So we're buoyed by that, and we want to expand and make a difference.
I'm trying to find the general's name so I can shout him out, who was in charge of the VA. I had him on the show, and I'm just kind of going through those real quick. But when I find it, I'll be sure to put it in there. He was just making good sense. He said, Rad, we look at each other. Okay, so Douglas Lute, okay, General Lute, he transitioned from George Bush to Obama in the administration. And he said, we got together because we said U.S. Army, U.S. Marines, U.S. Coast Guard, and U.S. Navy in front of us. You know, the politicalness mm-hmm. was set aside, you know, because, yeah, he came from a Republican president to a Democratic president, but he came prepared with, sir, these are like the 25 things that you need to recognize in the world today, and these are ready for you when you take office. And so he transitioned like that. He understood his transition of he can vote for whoever he wants. See, my dad told me one thing. I said, Dad, who did you vote for in this election? This was when it was like Dukakis and Reagan and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, Aaron, I don't have to tell you that. And I was like, what? You're not going to tell me that? I go to the office with you. I hang out with you. You're not going to tell me? He's like, that's my right. I don't have to tell you who I vote for as an American. I have that right. And right. you have that right. And all the way up through taking him to the polling stations in his wheelchair when he wanted to vote before he was passing
still
away.
I
was like, who did you vote for? He's like, that is for me to know. And I was just like, you know, and I've always held on to that. And I'm the same way. People think I'm one way or another way. And they're always like calling me out or which way do you go? And I'm like, well, you'll just never know.
Right. Okay? And that's why I think it's important for MRC to be apolitical on any given day, on any given subject. Some people are going to think it's left or right.
Right.
And we're so politicized now, we understand that. But it's not going to hinder us from taking on these problems. I mean, food insecurity is not a Democrat or Republican issue. It's an issue.
It's humanitarian.
Right? 22-plus veteran suicides a day is not a Democrat problem or a Republican problem.
No.
It's a national problem.
Yes.
And that's the way we need to go after it. And the great thing about veterans is we love a challenge, right? We love two things. We love a hilltop to take or defend,
right.
And we want a tribe to do it together. And right. that's what we hope MRC will provide.
I love that. And Mission Roll Call is a very awesome, beautiful organization that you are working with and helping to helm. And I know you're going into DC and I know you're trying to make a change. And I'm really proud of you. And I just want you to know that it's an honor to have you on the show to bring awareness to Mission Roll Call. I have a lot of folks trying to hit me up all the time saying, hey, can I bring my show? And I'm yeah, let's hear what you have to say. And I hear what they have to say. But I just want you to know you're really moving the needle in my heart. Okay. I just want you to know that.
Thank you, Rad. And hopefully we'll do this on a frequent basis so I can report out to you on how we're doing. And
I would be willing to give you a place on our website to have Mission Roll Call.
Oh, thank
post
you.
Up like a weekly stats. You
we
can
love
like
to
type
do
on,
that.
So,
we love
you know,
to do
it'd
that.
Come from
we
you. You could have it on Soft Rep.
Yep. This
and
is
And it would
great.
Just be there.
Well,
and so anybody that would, they could just click on the link. You could write like a 500 word little something that's going on for that week for Mission Roll Call. And I'm just saying that would be a total pleasure. And I can introduce you to Guy, our editor, who would love to talk to you about that.
Oh, that's cool. Thanks so much.
Yes. Yes. It's been wonderful. And I know I've had you for about an hour and it just goes by so quickly. And I don't want to lose the friendship or the conversation, but I'm very proud of you. And I think that your daughters and your wife and everybody are badass. And I just want to put that out there in the world. Thank you.
They
for,
are badass.
They are badass, sir.
They are.
You know, first of all, she's West Point. Okay. That alone, that's my favorite football team, right? I live here in Utah. And it was all U of U, Utah, or BYU. And I'm like, West Point.
Yeah. Have you ever gone to a game there?
No, I have not. It would be a dream.
Let's get you there.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. Well, let's do it. I'll give you a little space on the website. I'll come to West Point and cheer on the Army. Go Army. Yeah. I love that. Okay. Well, listen, on behalf of Jim Whaley, myself, Rad, all of us here at softrep.com and our merch store, don't forget, I got to keep the gas on the fireplace. I want to say thank you. Happy holidays to you. And, check on your buddies next door and just make sure everybody's doing okay. Make a post on your Facebook. Buddy check. Who replies? Maybe someone you haven't talked to in a while. Buddy check. And with that, I want to say peace. In a world where information overload can cloud judgment, one platform stands out in the intelligence landscape. Meet Fivecast, the future of data-driven decision-making. Fivecast is not just software. It's your strategic advantage. Using advanced analytics, it turns vast amounts of data into actionable insights, ensuring that security and defense professionals stay ahead of the curve. From identifying threats to predicting trends, Fivecast empowers you with the intelligence you need when you need it. Trusted by global organizations, it's the tool for those who refuse to settle for the ordinary. Are you ready to transform your data into decisive action? Visit Fivecast.com now and step into a world of clarity and foresight.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.